I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. The golden age of comic books ran from the late 1930s to the early 1950s, when you got 64 pages of adventure for just a dime. One of the earliest superhero comics was the Blue Beetle. He first appeared in August 1939 in a comic published by a company called Fox Comics. He was later sold to Holyoke Comics, then Charlton Comics, and finally DC Comics. Fox Comics had a lot of lurid titles like Crimes by Women, Marga the Panther Woman, and Rula the Jungle Goddess. They went out of business in 1950. Holyoke Comics, which published the Blue Beetle during World War II, also had Captain Arrow Comics and Catman Comics. Charlton, which did the Blue Beetle for a few issues in 1955 and then again in the mid-60s, was a pretty famous comic book company. They started in 1946 with gory horror and syrupy romance titles, moved on to superheroes, and then picked up TV shows like The Flintstones, The $6 Million Man, and Rocky and Bullwinkle. And finally, DC Comics, home of Superman and Batman, acquired the Blue Beetle in 1986. The Blue Beetle was really a policeman named Dan Garrett. His superpowers were obtained from a pill called Vitamin 2X. He had no invulnerability, but he wore a bulletproof costume when he appeared as the Blue Beetle. Joan Mason, a gorgeous blonde newspaper reporter, was another main character. And Dr. Franz was the pharmacist-inventor who developed Vitamin 2X and a lot of other gizmos for the Blue Beetle. The radio version starred Frank Lovejoy as Dan Garrett, the Blue Beetle. It ran from May to September 1940 on CBS. This episode, Thoroughbreds Always Come Through, first aired on June 19, 1940.
He had no business there. That horse belonged to the Williams stables.
Oh, well, this
horse race business is beyond me. Some horses run around in a circle, and one of them wins, and a few people win some money, and a lot of people lose some money.
Well, that's just about right, Doc.
And what are you going to do about Buddy Winston's death?
First, get Mike Madigan and run out to the racetrack and look around.
The big race is on today, isn't it?
Yeah, and White Star has entered.
Well, what chance has he? Many of the horses in the race are top-flight thoroughbreds, aren't they?
According to the newspapers.
Well, Danny, if there's something crooked going on, I know you will find it out and be in there investigating.
You bet. It's my duty to uphold the law and bring every crook to justice.
Be careful, Danny. Be careful, and good luck, boy. Good luck.
Thanks, Doc. So long. I'm going to find out what makes White Star twinkle.
As I see it, Danny, Jockey Winston knew too much about something crooked in this horse racing business and was bumped off to keep his mouth shut.
That's my theory, too.
Well, what do you figure he knew?
Oh, some crooked work in connection with White Star.
What, that dog? Say, me boy, that horse couldn't run fast enough to keep his feet warm.
That's what everybody thinks. But I've got a hunch he's booked to win this race today.
Oh, don't make me laugh, Danny. He ain't been in the money this season, and against thoroughbreds like Sassafras and Blue Regret and San Simeon. He looked like he's running backwards.
Just the same. I've got a hunch he'll win.
Yes, but take my advice. Don't back that hunch with a real money bet.
Don't worry, I don't play the races. I like to see horses run, but I don't bet on them.
Well, here we are. You go get the tickets while I pass the card.
Okay, Mike.
Clubhouse tickets. Left hand line for grandstand. Keep moving. Have your money ready here.
Two for the grandstand, please.
We don't need no tickets, officer.
Eight men
will pass you in.
Oh, thanks, but I'm off duty. I prefer to buy tickets.
Okay. $5 for two. That's right. Hey, Danny. Did you get the tickets?
Yeah, here we are. Let's go this way. Hey, how about a cold drink, Danny? No, thanks, Mike. I'm going to stroll around this paddock and see what gossip I can pick up.
Okay, I'll hold a seat for you up in, section C. Fourth row up. That'll be near the finish line.
All right, Mike. I'll be back before the big race. Hello. You're the jockey that's riding White Star today?
Yeah, that's right.
Name's Jessup?
Yeah.
Mine's Garrett. Coleman Dan Garrett.
Anything wrong, officer?
Oh, no. I'm not here to arrest anyone. I like horses, so I thought I'd come down here and look around.
Oh.
Is that, that White Star there?
Yeah, that's him. He's a beauty.
Certainly is. Can he run?
Like a streak.
What's been holding him back?
Well, I don't know. I ain't never ridden him in a race. Winston used to ride him.
Oh, that's right. I suppose he gets his name from that, White Star on his forehead.
Yep.
Well, good luck today.
Thanks, mister.
Oh, just a minute, officer.
Yeah?
Are you here in an official capacity?
Oh, no, just shaking hands with the horses.
Well, don't be talking to my jockeys or fooling around with horses before a race.
Are you the owner of White Star?
I represent the owners.
Oh, I see. Think he'll win today?
Looking for a tip?
Maybe.
Well, don't put your money on White Star.
No? Well, you're a jockey here and thinks...
Never mind what he thinks. To ride, not to think. I tell you to put your money on some other horse. White Star isn't ready yet. New track. New jockey.
I see. Okay. Well, goodbye, Jessup, and good luck. And thanks for that tip, mister. It's a sure thing I won't bet on White Star. Number one.
She's a nice looking filly.
No filly will win this race.
Sassafras for my money.
Yeah? What about White Star?
That dog, oh, don't make me laugh.
San Simeon likes the distance.
Anything can happen in a mile and an eighth.
Yeah? I'm taking a long shot. $2.50 to 1 on White Star ain't peanuts.
If you win. In an eight horse race like this one, he ain't got a chance. Cuts up so much at the post, he may even be left.
Look, they're at the post.
No regret, sure looks good.
San Simeon's nervous.
Kilometer don't like the number 4 spots.
White Star's pretty steady. Stands there like a thoroughbred.
What's that horse coming through next to the rail?
Number 7. Rainy day.
Boy, look at him come.
San Simeon's dropping back.
Where's my horse?
Fast.
Look, he's moving up. He's past San Simeon.
He's almost neck and neck with Rainy Day.
Sassafras first. Louis Fett second. Rainy Day third. White Star fourth at the corner.
San Simeon's out of it.
Look, White Star's passing Rainy Day.
Well, what do you know about that?
Yeah,
he's moving up on Blue and Red.
Yeah, Blue and Red can't stand the pace. I told you no filly would win this race.
Come on, White Star. Come on, show him how.
Well, I'll be. He's passed Sassafras at the far turn. And he's in the lead.
Boy, oh boy, $100 I'm winning.
The race ain't over yet.
It is for you guys. Look at White Star coming down the stretch. Come on, White Star. Come on, baby. Get dust in their faces. Come on, White Star. Add up, baby. It's a walk away. Boy, oh boy. White Star wins by 7 seconds.
Danny, what did you think of the race?
White Star certainly ran like a thoroughbred.
Yeah, he sure did that. Say, the bookies must have cleaned up.
Why?
Well, nobody was betting on White Star. All the big money was on the favorites.
I have a hunch that the owners of White Star had plenty of money bet on their horse.
And what makes you think that? I figured they'd be as surprised as anybody else.
The man I met at the stables while I was talking to Jockey Jessup was too anxious to have me bet on some other horse. I'm suspicious of him. He represents the owners.
Well, why didn't you tell me? I'd have placed a bet on White Star.
I didn't think of it at the time. Hey, you can let me off here, Mike. I'm going to drop in on Doc France.
Okay. And I may have a look into this case myself. It don't smell right to me.
Well, keep your eye open for the Blue Beetle.
Oh, him. Someday I'll hook him.
If you do, let me know.
I will not.
Well, good night, Mike.
Good night, Danny.
Hello, Danny. And how were the races?
Oh, great. Some fine horses running.
I heard some of it over the radio. White Star was a great surprise.
Yes, and I can't quite figure it out. Something's wrong somewhere.
Why?
Well, a horse as good as White Star couldn't run as poorly as he has in the past. You can't disguise class.
Wait a minute. Disguise. That's it. You got something, Danny?
Almost. Say, I wonder if... No, it's fantastic. Excuse me, Danny.
Yes? Oh, yes, yes, he's here. Just a minute. It's for you, Danny. A young lady's voice.
Oh, thanks. Hello? Yeah? Who? Millie Jessup. Oh, the jockey's sister. Yes. What? Oh, I see. When did it happen? Yes, I certainly will. Where? Yes, I'll be there in 15 minutes. Goodbye.
Something important, Danny?
Yes, Doc. That was Jessup's sister on the phone. You know, the jockey who rode White Star? I met him today. He's been arrested on some trumped-up charge. He remembered me and asked her to call me. Afraid to call me himself.
You think it has anything to do with the race this afternoon?
I'm sure of it. Well, so long, Doc. I'm going down to headquarters. The Blue Beetle might fly tonight, so I'll be back later for the Blue Beetle chain armor and mask.
I'll be here and have everything ready, Danny.
Thanks, Doc. Goodbye. Now, tell me all about it, Miss Jessup.
Well, just after the race today, when Eddie, my brother, was changing his clothes, he overheard a conversation that led him to believe that White Star was going to be shipped to another track tonight.
But White Star is supposed to race in the Alice Whiteman Memorial Stakes here next Saturday.
That's right. So my brother went to Mr. Gottschalk, who represents the B&T Stables, and asked him about what he overheard.
What did Gottschalk say?
He told Eddie his ears were too big. A little later, somebody went to the racetrack stewards and claimed that they'd been robbed of some diamond cufflinks. A search was made, and they were found in Eddie's locker. But I know he didn't do it, Mr. Garrett. I'm positive he did it. Eddie isn't that kind of a boy.
Oh, now, Miss Jessup, don't get excited. I'm sure this is a frame-up to get your brother out of the way for a while.
He was afraid to talk to you himself, so he asked me to.
That was wise. There's crooked work going on somewhere, and I'm going to find out what it is.
What are you going to do?
Talk it over with someone who will clear up this racehorse mystery. And if it's a crooked racket, he'll smash it in quick order.
What is the explanation of Jockey Jessup's arrest? Why is White Star to be transported to another track? How can a losing horse be made into a thoroughbred overnight? Will Dan Garrett solve the mystery? Or will he turn the job over to the Blue Beetle? In another part of the city, interesting instructions are being given over the telephone.
Oh, look, Spinelli. You're clever with the paintbrush. You've done a swell job on that horse, Sagebrush. You've kept him looking like a real White Star. Yeah, they were bred to have the same conformation. He may not be able to run like him, but he sure looks like him. What? Yeah, I know. I know it was difficult. You're getting paid plenty. Now, here's what I want you to do. We're shipping White Star to a little track in the south. And I want you to disguise him so that no one will know. Where is the Blue Beetle flying tonight?
Out to the racetrack.
But there's no horse racing at night.
No, but there's a horse moving. The Blue Beetle is going to find out why.
Well, be careful, Danny. I inspected your blue chain armor and mask. It seems in perfect condition.
Thanks, Doc.
Taking anything along besides your magic ray and Blue Beetle spotlight?
No, just a little paint remover.
Paint remover?
Yes. I've got a hunch a little paint remover may come in handy to remove the disguise.
I hope you're successful.
So do I. Well, so long, Doc. The Blue Beetle is off to the racetrack.
In here and park.
Okay.
I'll soft-foot it into the stables and see if Spinelli's finished with White Star. If he has, I'll give you the old hoot owl.
Yeah? What then?
I'll come running with White Star and we'll lead him up into the truck.
Okay.
Now keep your motor running. As soon as we get him loaded, we'll high-beam it out of
here. I got you. Okay.
Come on, we let the loading ramp down. You take the other side.
Yeah. I got it.
Now, ease her down. That's cut it. Now remember to keep your motor running.
Don't worry. I've done this before.
Okay. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Easy, White Star, easy. Soon you're looking like Sagebrush, you dope. He's a look like you, but he's gonna run like you. Easy, boy, easy. Yeah. A little more pain on the forehead, then nobody's know you, the White Star. Everybody thinks you're just a dog. The boss is to make a plenty money on you. Every time you race, you get other men. You look like other horse.
How you coming, Spinelli?
Twisted. You frighten me. Is that you, Froggy?
Yeah. I got the horse van down the road. Is White Star ready to go?
Yes. How does he look?
Move your lantern over this way. Say, that's a swell job. Nobody'd recognize him. You're an artist, Spinelli.
Gee, Spinelli's a great artist. I am...
Shh! Douse the glim. Somebody's coming.
Look on the wall.
Yeah. A spotlight for a large...
The Blue Beetle!
Yes, the Blue Beetle.
Beat it, masquerader, before I trigger.
Go ahead and shoot. Draw every stable boy and guard in the place here.
He's all right, Froggy.
Okay. What do you want?
I want to cut in on this racket, or I'll expose you.
Oh, yeah? Well, I ain't the boss in this racket. You have to see Gutcho.
All right. Reach for the roof, boys. It's the law.
Mike Madigan.
The dumb copper.
Yes, it's Officer Madigan, and he ain't so dumb. So, Blue Beetle, you want to chisel in on this racket, eh?
You have sharp ears, Madigan.
Listen, copper. If you're wise, you'll put up that gun and forget you ever saw us.
The boss will pay plenty to keep this quiet. It's a gold mine.
Oh, yeah? Well, I ain't prospecting for gold. I'm gunning for racketeers.
Well, you ain't gonna get this one. That's for you, Copper.
And this is for you, Duke.
Good work, Spinelli. Got the blue beetle with the lantern.
Hey, look. Huh? Look, the lantern, she's a broke. She's a set fire to this straw.
Hey, what's going on in there?
Fire! Fire! Somebody turn in the alarm.
Fire! Fire!
Here, Spinelli. Help me toss the blue beetle over to that stall.
All right.
That'll be the end of Mr. Blue Beetle. He'll burn up with the stable, I hope.
Hey, what's about these office of the manager?
Load him on your back and bring him out to the van. We'll drop him off a bridge somewhere.
Oh, he's very heavy.
Okay, I'll take him. You lead White Star out. Mitch is waiting down the road with the motor on it. Come on, make it snappy. Now, here we go.
Certainly had a narrow escape that time.
Yes. Spinelli hit me from behind with a lantern and knocked me unconscious. When I came to, I was in a water tank next to what had been White Star's stall. The whole place was ablaze.
But how did you escape burning to death?
The asbestos lining you made for my Blue Beetle armor saved me.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember. I made it so if some racketeer happened to get a hold of your electric ray gun, he couldn't burn you to death in your Blue Beetle armor.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, what became of Lanigan? Didn't you say he was there?
Yes, but a thug named Froggy knocked him out. I didn't see anything of him afterward.
Did you see the morning paper?
No. What did they have to say about the fire?
Read it.
Fire caused considerable damage to stables at Parkingham Racetrack last night. Several horses were burned. First, it was thought White Star had been burned. But later, the sensational stakes winner was found in one of the stables, not touched by the fire. He is booked to run in the Alice Whiteman Memorial Stakes on Saturday. Say, something's rotten somewhere.
What do you mean?
The White Star was in the part of the stables that burned last night, but he was disguised by a coat of paint. I caught one of the crooks at work.
It says they're in the paper.
No, but if those crooks can disguise one horse, they can disguise another.
Well, what are you going to do?
Run out and have a look at this White Star.
Just a minute, Danny. I'll see who's out front in the store.
Oh, hello, Doc. Is Danny here?
Yes, he's in the back. My side, there might be quite a cut on your chin.
Yeah, sure. A horse kicked me last night.
Hello, Mike. What's this about a horse kicking you?
Oh, hello, Danny. Yes. You see, I was investigating this White Star case, and I got kicked by a horse.
Oh, that's too bad. Say, but you're just in time. I'm going out to the track myself. Why don't you come along? Maybe you can find the horse that kicked you and arrest him.
That's a good idea. Come on, now. Let's go. I got the car outside.
Goodbye, Doc. If I find out what I expect to find, the Blue Beetle will fly again tonight.
Danny, would you like to try out the portable television set? It's ready for a test.
Oh, that's great. I'll pick it up when I come back to my Blue Beetle chain armor and mask.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye and good luck.
Arrangements have been made, gentlemen. Sagebrush, disguised as White Star, will race in the Whiteman Memorial on Saturday and lose.
What about the real White Star?
He'll run at Shadyside, disguised as Sagebrush, and win. We'll get long odds on him and clean up.
Who's riding here on Saturday?
Oh, a new jockey. It's his first big race. He'll think he's riding on the real White Star.
What's that humming sound?
Maybe the electric fan in the other room.
What about Jessup? Doesn't he suspect that
he's out on bail. But he'll be kept away from the racetrack. If he opens his mouth about anything, he'll get what we gave Winston.
Well, I hope your scheme works. We've invested plenty, and we expect to realize on our investment.
Don't worry, gentlemen. Your investment is safe. You've already cleaned up plenty on yesterday's race. You'll make a fortune if you let me run things.
What about the policeman and the Blue Beetle that discovered Spinelli and Froggy, as you call him, at work?
They've been disposed of. Their mouths have been closed forever.
What's that noise? The Blue Beetle.
Dead. Come to life.
Yes.
Too bad Buddy Winston can't be brought back to life. Murderers.
I'm going to make sure of you, you Blue Beetle.
Go ahead and shoot, Totshawk.
first look at this little black box.
I'm not interested in little black boxes. You're in my way, and
every I'll... action, every word you say is being registered in this portable television set.
That was the sound I heard.
Yes, like an electric hand.
And you were
standing behind the curtain, televising everything that took place here.
The police?
Yes, the police. They've been receiving everything I've picked up here. The case is complete, gentlemen, with every television set owner in the city as added witnesses.
The Blue Beetle was in with these crooks, eh? Put the bracelets on them, boys. And to make doubly sure of the Blue Beetle, I'll handcuff him, Mike.
Sorry to hurt you, Mannigan, but the Blue Beetle has to keep his hands free. Goodbye, gentlemen. It'll be a long time before you see another horse race.
I can laugh now, Danny, when I think how you bluffed those crooks. But at the time, I was worried.
Yes. If I'd known you'd left a tube out of the portable television set, I'd have had to use different methods.
Luckily, the crooks didn't know it.
They were so surprised and frightened, they made a full confession when Mannigan and the boys got them down to headquarters.
Well, the next time, I'll make a closer check. I'd have never forgiven myself if harm had come to you.
Oh, forget it, Doc. You're the best friend a fellow could have. I don't know what I'd have done without your help.
Oh, you'd have come through successfully just the same. Remember, thoroughbreds always come through.
And so another crooked racket was smashed by the Blue Beetle. What new assignments will the Blue Beetle set for himself in his crusade against crime? This question will be answered in the next episode of The Blue Beetle. Copyrighted box feature appearing in Mystery Men Comics magazine on sale at your newsstand. The Blue Beetle is on the air twice a week on this same station. Consult the broadcast schedule in your local newspapers. And don't forget to listen in.
From June 19, 1940, Frank Lovejoy as the Blue Beetle and Thoroughbreds Always Come Through. Thanks for listening. If there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, or if you have any questions about old-time radio programs or would just like to talk about some of your favorites, drop me a note at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info. In the Old-Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.